Please turn in your Bibles to Psalm 113. The text is Psalm 113, verses 1 through 9. Hear God's Word. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forever, from the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations. His glory is above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, who is enthroned on high, who humbles himself to behold the things that are in the heaven and in the earth? He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap, to make them sit with princes, with the princes of his people. He makes the barren woman abide in the house, a joyful mother of children. Praise the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this particular psalm, and we thank you that it does guide us in our thoughts this morning. But not only so, Father, it ought to guide us in our individual lives throughout this coming week and in the weeks ahead. And we thank you that it does teach us that you, who are enthroned on high, lift us up and put praise on our lips. May this be the case and may this be our experience before you, we pray, in the good name of Jesus Christ, who is the Lord. Amen. Imagine you are sitting at a Passover meal. And during the Passover meal, the head of household, and the Passover was celebrated by households and is today, the head of the household displays to you the bread which is utilized in the Passover meal. And he announces to you, with regard to the bread, this is the bread of affliction. And as a participant in the Passover meal, the bread reminds you of your heritage, that you were among the people of God called out of Egypt, and you suffered great affliction in Egypt. And that bread not only indicates to you the affliction that your ancestors suffered in Egypt, but it reminds you of the great deliverance that God was pleased to bring through Moses. And so as you celebrate the Passover meal, you partake of this bread, the bread of affliction, in memory of what took place in Egypt. And then, as a part of the Passover meal, you sing from Psalm 113 and Psalm 114. Psalm 114, if you look at the very first verse, speaks more specifically of Egypt. When Israel went forth from Egypt, the house of Jacob from a people of strange language. It speaks more of Egypt particularly, but Psalm 113 also speaks of the great God of heaven who was pleased to reach down and stoop low to lift up the needy and put praise on their lips. And so as you celebrate the Passover, you remember how God was pleased to reach down and stoop low to lift you up and put praise on your lips. And as you come this morning to celebrate the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, it is exactly the same theme and exactly the same proposition, that the great God of heaven who is enthroned on high stoops low. And is this not the case, friends? He stoops low to lift you up and to put praise on your lips. This is the teaching of the psalm, and this is the point, the one point, the one point that is before you today. I'll say it again. The great God who is enthroned on high stoops low to lift you up and to put praise on your lips. You notice in the psalm, first of all, that the Lord your God is enthroned on high in the heavens. Look at verse 5. Who is like the Lord our God who is enthroned on high? This is the great question, is it not? Who is like the Lord our God? And for ancient Israel, the confession was, the Lord, He is our God. We have no other gods. And that was the great proposition that God had set before the people when He was at Sinai, and the people were before Him at Sinai, that they should have no other gods before Him. And they were to learn that the Lord alone, He is God. And you and I must learn that lesson also. The word Lord here is taken by way of the Greek language, the translation from the Hebrew into the Greek Old Testament. The word Lord is Kurios, and it is taken into the New Testament. And this is the word that is used of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is Lord, and that is the great confession of the Christian, that Jesus Christ is Lord. And Paul put it this way, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. And so that confession that Christ is Lord is of absolute necessity. And it is not just a confession indicating that Jesus is some sort of high dignitary. No. In that context in Romans, Paul is indicating that Jesus Christ is deity. He is God incarnate. He is God who came as flesh. And so, the text before us, who is like the Lord our God? Who is enthroned on high, is the question before you and me. Turn with me, if you would, to get a better picture of this, to the book of Hebrews, to the fourth chapter, and verse 14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Notice what it says about Christ. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, we are reminded in this text of Jesus Christ, who raised from the dead, ascended bodily into heaven, it says in the beginning of Acts. And the apostles saw Him. But the writer to the Hebrews reminds us that He did not only enter into heaven and the apostles saw Him go into heaven, as it were, that is, into the sky. He passed through that sky, through the atmosphere, and He passed through the highest heaven that we can see, where the planets and the stars have their home. He passed through that highest heaven. Imagine this now. As you look at the sun today, 93 million miles from us, it is the largest star which you see, but it is not the only one. The stars which you see in the heavens, most of them are of much greater magnitude than the sun. They are much larger than the sun. But because they are so far distant, they are only tiny specks in the heaven. And Jesus Christ went through the heavens above this creation. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, just a couple of pages in verse 11. But when Christ appeared as high priest of the good things to come, He entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation. It's hard for me, I don't know about you, but it's hard for me to grasp what the writer to the Hebrews is saying here, that Jesus Christ went to the greater tabernacle, the place in heaven which is somehow outside of, above this creation. Can you comprehend that? It's hard for me to, Because we are part of this creation, but Jesus Christ is enthroned somehow outside of and above this creation. He is the King and Lord of all. Now please go back, if you would, now to the Psalm. Verse 5, who is like the Lord our God, who is enthroned on high, above and outside of this creation? And then you notice that this Lord whom we confess is not only the one who is on high, but he stoops low. He stoops low to enter into this creation and concern himself with this created order. Verses 5 and 6. Who is like the Lord our God, who is enthroned on high, who humbles himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth? He must, if he is so high and exalted, friend, stoop low. I have a little 4-year-old grandson who likes to go out in the yard and overturn the rocks and look under the rocks to see the little crawling creatures that are under the rocks and grab those little roly-polies, etc. And even that little 4-year-old has to stoop down low in order to see those little creatures under the rock. Imagine God stooping low from an exalted position outside of and above this created order, stooping low to come down and look at the likes of you and me and to care for you and me. This is what the text is telling us. And preeminently, how is it that God condescends to stoop low and come to you and me? It is through Jesus Christ, who takes the form of human flesh, of sinful human flesh, the likeness of humble flesh, leaving glory and living in this world and taking on food and eliminating waste and growing in this world. He stoops low, friends. And he not only stoops low in this fashion, but he lives a perfect life for the likes of you and me. And then, arrested, he is flogged and bleeds for you and me. And he hangs on a cruel cross and cries, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why has your love and mercy been taken from me? But I experience only now your wrath. And he does that. He stoops low for you and me. The Apostle Paul put it this way, the one who ascended, is he not the one who descended to the lower parts of the earth? And I think what the Apostle Paul means there is that the lower parts are not some subterranean cavities in the earth, but the lower parts are actually the earth itself. And so that God stoops low to take into account and to view his creation and his creatures, you and me. And as he does so, he concerns himself with you as the poor and the needy. Verse 7 in our text. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. The poor in this case are those who are ill, perhaps, or who have encountered some misfortune. Perhaps the house is burned. Perhaps unemployment has come along. Perhaps an illness has struck. And Jesus Christ stoops low to come to you in that circumstance. And the needy in the text are actually those who mourn. Those who mourn not only because of their sins, but they also mourn outwardly and physically because of the loss of loved ones. And you notice in verse 7, it says, He raises the poor from the dust, that is, from the place of mourning. And in the ancient culture, the habit was for those who mourn and who were in grief, they would cast dust over their heads. And then verse 7 says, And He lifts the needy from the ash heap. The ash heap is actually there the dunghill. And it's a very graphic term and a very graphic picture presented to us. You may have seen pictures and movies of third world countries and third world and fourth world and fifth world villages, which are only shanties, streets road with rows of shanties made out of cardboard and tin on the roofs, and the sun beating down on those tin roofs, and the only running water they have is that little ditch that's in the middle of the street where raw sewage seeps out from those hovels into the middle of the streets. And the flies are massing over the little children when you see the pictures of them. That's the dunghill. That's the dunghill that the psalm is speaking of. And the people, as they would sing this psalm at the Passover feast, would remember the people in bondage in Egypt and thank God that He was willing to stoop low and to bring them up out of that dunghill and to have a concern, to have a personal concern for them. Who is like the Lord our God, who is enthroned on high, who humbles Himself to behold the things in heaven and in earth, who raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. And what does He do when He stoops down and lifts us up out of the dunghill and out of the ash heap, and He takes care of us in our illness and in our misfortune? Verse 8 says, He stoops down to lift us up, to make us sit with princes, with the princes of His people. God stooping down to lift us up and to make us, friends, not only people that wander on the face of the earth and can say, thank you, Lord, that you give me a place in the world, but He lifts us up to be princes with His people. It was God's design in the beginning, as He brought the people out of Egypt and He put them at Mount Sinai. He said to them, I want you to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. And it wasn't just that certain ones would be priests and certain ones would be princes. No, it was for all the people to be lifted up to be princes and priests in the kingdom of God. And that's part of the Reformation heritage, my friends. The priesthood of all believers. That we are all placed on equal footing before God. I had an interesting experience at our synod a few years ago when I had to stand before our synod in the Reformed Presbyterian Church of North America. And I was examined to be a professor at our seminary. And so I had to preach a sermon. They wanted to see if I could preach at all. And so I preached this sermon, and it was on Psalm 122. I won't forget that. And I said in the course of that sermon, It would be good for me if God lifts me up and I can just be in heaven and I can stand at the very edge of heaven, on the periphery of heaven, and stand on my tiptoes and look over the multitude to see the throne of God in the center of it all. That's good enough for me. And one of the men said to me in the question and answer period, "Why do you just want to be in the edge? I want to be in the middle." I said, "Well, that may be, but I remember what the psalmist says. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than dwell in the tents of wickedness." Just to be there, just to be there and to be among God's people will be sufficient. And that's what the psalmist is telling us, that he is lifting us up, that God, through Jesus Christ, reaches down and stoops low to lift us up and to bring us into the ineffable, wonderful, gracious, loving presence of God. And nothing could be better. And as a result of this, what do you realize? You realize, on one hand, that you're a servant, that you're a servant of God and nothing else, and that God is the one who is majestic in holiness. Look at verse 1. "Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord." Isn't this what it brings you to? When God, the great God of heaven, stoops low and lifts you up and makes you a prince in His kingdom, you realize, oh, everything I have comes from Him. I have nothing to contribute. All has been given to me, and I am privileged to be the servant of the Most High God. And that is your status, friends, and that is my status. When I first came to Pittsburgh and began teaching at our seminary, I drove up to the seminary one morning, and Dr. Wayne Spear, who is a senior professor at the seminary and fairly close to retirement, was out on the front stoop with a broom, sweeping the front stoop of the seminary. What a servant. What a servant. And that was not the only time I saw Dr. Spear manifest that servant attitude. On many other occasions. And I'll not forget the picture of him sweeping, doing the menial task of sweeping the stoop at the front of the seminary. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. And also verse 4, "The Lord is high above all nations. His glory is above the heavens." When the Lord stoops down and lifts you up, you realize you're His servant and you understand His glory and His majesty. That word glory has an interesting connotation. In the Hebrew language, it means weight or weightiness. And if you recognize God's glory, what happens? He carries weight in your life. And He can throw His weight around, can't He? Yes, He can. But He doesn't do it in a negative way. And when you recognize who He is, and He carries weight in your life, you do His bidding. Not because He tells you, but because you know what He's done for you. And the love wells up in your heart. And you respond to Him graciously and lovingly. And so, the final result then is, not only that you recognize that you are His servant, and He is the glorious one who is weighty in all respects, but you give Him due praise. He puts praise on your lips. Look at the psalm again in verses 2 and 3. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forever. From the beginning, from the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Yes, you bless the Lord. And some would say, how is it that you bless the Lord? Well, that little word bless here means to speak well of, to speak of the Lord as good and gracious. And we're often free to speak well of other individuals, and especially when we eulogize individuals at the time of their death, we speak well of them. Should it not be the case that you and I speak well of God and bless His name and say to Him, O Lord, so good you have been to me in sending Jesus Christ into the world and stooping low in His person to lift me up out of the degradation of my own sin so that I could give you praise. And that is our blessing of Him. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. And when you realize that God has lifted you up and put your feet on a solid rock and given you a new life, from that time forward, isn't it true that you bless His name and speak well of Him? And the psalmist says, from the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Yes, from morning until evening, from the rising of the sun until the setting of the sun, you are to give praise to God. And not only so, it's not a time frame that the psalmist has in mind here, but it is also geography. Think about this. From the rising of the sun to its setting, all across the world, men and women do owe praise to God. And so it is, no matter when you draw a breath or where it is you happen to be when you draw that breath, you are to give praise to God. And I submit to you, friends, that when you realize what God has done for you through Jesus Christ, you will be prepared to bless His holy name and to revere who God is in His character. Go back with me now. Go back with me now to that Passover feast. And think about the first Passover. And contemplate yourself sitting there at that table with the apostles. Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, takes the Passover bread, and all of you know, sitting at the Passover table, that bread is declared to be the bread of affliction. Only on this occasion, Jesus Christ takes that bread, the bread of affliction, and He says to you, "This is my body." And in a sense, He is saying to you, "I am the one who takes your affliction and bears the penalty for your sins and takes it away." And He redesignates that bread. And as you sit at the table, you realize He is the great God of heaven who before your very eyes has stooped low to come to you and to take your affliction. Who is like the Lord our God, who is enthroned on high, who humbles Himself to behold the things in heaven and in earth, who raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes, with the princes of His people. He makes the barren woman abide in the house as a joyful mother of children. Praise the Lord. and knowing what Jesus Christ has done for you as you sit in that moment, what is your response? I would say your response could be nothing other than to give thanks and praise to Him. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forever. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations. His glory is above the heavens. Yes, and at that Passover feast, you would then take the words of this very psalm on your lips and sing with Jesus Christ, the incarnate one, who was stooping low to lift you up, to put praise upon your lips. Think about Him, dear friends, and think about your status and your need, and give praise to Jesus Christ as the great Lord enthroned above all, who stooped low to lift you up and put praise on your lips. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for Your Word. It's a good word. And it's a good word, Father, because You are a good God. And we thank You that You have been pleased to come to us in our need to lift us up and to give us praise before You. Bless us now, Father, not only as we go forth from this time together, but bless us as we contemplate what we've been speaking about with regard to the sacrament that is before us. And grant us Your grace in it, we pray, as we remember Your stooping low to lift us up, to put praise upon our lips. Hear us, we ask, in the good name of Jesus, who is the Lord. Amen.